In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It is interesting to me to return to the early church, especially to the early church fathers, and to receive from them wisdom as to how we are to understand sacred scripture. This particular parable that our Lord tells us in St. Luke's Gospel to explain to us the nature of who indeed is our neighbor, oftentimes in modern scripture scholarship, is understood only in terms of how we are to interact with one another. The character of the priest and the character of the Levi are made out to be these horrible figures who pass by this indigent man and refuse to help him. But the Lord includes these duties, these two characters, precisely not to set up straw men in order to illustrate his parable, but to recognize that even those who are adherent to the law must allow the fullness of the law to motivate and animate what it is that they do. The priest and the Levite go by the man who fell in with robbers precisely because they did not want to risk ritual impurity. The Lord is not encouraging a disregard for the law, but a full understanding of living out that law. And of course, it's made manifest in the Samaritan. The worst person possible, the person who's part of the tribe that had left, the tribe that had abandoned the traditional practice of the faith, the Lord uses him precisely to illustrate that this law that he himself now embodies, this new law, this new covenant, is open to any and all who, as he first responds, the lawyer, to the question, "What does Scripture say as to how I may gain eternal life?" He quotes the great Shema from the book of Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your strength, and your whole mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Again, there is oftentimes confusion as the law of love and the law of God are opposite sides of the same coin. But I think it's more nuanced than that. For in truth, brothers and sisters, it is the law of God that precedes and then animates and becomes foundational for our loving our neighbor. A great many people manifest love for their neighbor who have no love for God at all. We would not look to them as pure example. Yes, in terms of the things to do, but not in the manner of being. This is why this prayer and the quoting of the prayer is so significant and necessary. Everything about who you are, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, must be given over to God completely and totally in love. Only then are you truly able to understand what it means to love your neighbor. When you are pressed into service, as the Samaritan makes manifest, not only binding up the wounds of the man himself, but then going further to take him to an inn and to care for him, and then to expend his own money to continue to care for him. This is the nature of the love that we must manifest to our neighbor. It is complete and total, precisely because the love that we have for God is complete and total. And of course, the ancients also help us understand that not only in illustrating this parable does our Lord teach us who our neighbor is, he also reveals to us that the greatest neighbor that we have is Christ our Savior. He, after all, is the Good Samaritan who has found us on the road, beaten up and bruised and stripped naked by our sinfulness. We have been torn apart by it. He comes upon us and he heals us. He carries us to the inn of Holy Mother the Church, where he then places us in her care. And whatever it is that is needed that she can continue to care for us, the Lord promises and pledges that he will repay it upon his return. Of course, it's not denarii that the Lord uses as the means of commercium. It is the shedding of his blood and the gift of his body, that coin that has been used to pay the ultimate and perfect price. This is indeed what precedes what the Samaritan actually does. And this is what we always must remind ourselves. Whatever goodness we do, whatever good activities we accomplish, it's because they have first been accomplished by God in Christ. He is the essence of all that is good, the wellspring from which all goodness actually comes. And so to speak of love and charity and compassion for my neighbor, and to have unsettled myself or unmoored myself from relationship with God diminishes and maybe even overshadows the authentic love that I should have for my neighbor. We know a great many people, maybe even in our own lives, maybe even in our own immediate family. We have a great solicitude for the poor and the disenfranchised, but want nothing to do with God or His church. And so whatever it is that motivates them, they are indeed motivated to do good. When they realize that their goodness doesn't always change the world, or as good as they are nevertheless limited in what it is that they are able to accomplish. As the world itself makes very clear, oftentimes people grow tired of doing good. They become despairing of the good works that they do actually making a difference. It is precisely at that moment that our faith then steps in and gives us the courage and the strength that we need to continue. Because our motivation is not to simply change society, nor are we motivated by good social order. Those things, not invaluable, but that's not the primary goal. Our goal, our impetus, what motivates us, is because we are putting into practice this love that we have for God that comes from our very essence. And so we continue to expend ourselves, even if the world does not change. Even if we are rejected because of our acts of charity, even if people push us aside or they take advantage of us, regardless of how people respond to us, what we give to our neighbor, we do so because it has first been given to us, and we, in our desire to show forth that love, put it into practice. And so let us pray through the mystery of this Holy Eucharist and the Lord that we are about to receive for the strength and the courage that we need to live out in our daily lives profound acts of charity. This is the hallmark of the Christian life, to be more solicitous of others than we are of ourselves, to be concerned about the needs of others more than we think of ourselves. This is not an easy task to accomplish. All the more reason to turn yet again to God, loving Him completely and totally, and of course knowing that He loves us completely and totally, up to and including the gift of His body and the shedding of His blood. Again, through this great august sacrifice, we thank God for the blessings of His love that He shows forth in the gift of Himself. And then we pay heed to what our Lord enjoins the lawyer at the end of our gospel passage, recognizing that indeed the Samaritan is the one who has shown mercy. The Lord says to him, and He says to each of us, go and do also in like manner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.